moment from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18. I want to mention one thing that Larry said earlier about the Josh Hunt conference. He's from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I invited him last year, about January, to come. And it was sort of a leap of faith, for me anyway. And I really felt that I felt the Lord was in it from the beginning, but I wasn't sure. And if you do not know who Josh Hunt is, his website is joshhunt.com. And you will learn that he has wrote more Sunday school lessons than any man living or dead. He writes about 4 a week. And for you who are in the Sunday school department, is a wonderful aid for developing new teachers. I don't know if you'll go into that or not, but you can find that out. And so I hope you'll take this opportunity. And since that, I invited all the other associations around, for about 8 different associations. And since then, three of the associations have actually invited him to come speak to their association, and plus one in Raleigh. So I did feel it was of the Lord. Would you take just a moment before we begin? And would you pray for me? And would you pray for this service? Let's pray. Thank you, our Father, for hearing our prayers this morning. And may you find our worship of you acceptable in your sight, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, our passage today is from Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. From the words of our Savior, verse 1, he then told them a parable on the need for them to pray always and not become discouraged. There was a judge in a certain town who didn't fear God or respect man, but a widow in that town kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. And for a while he was unwilling, but later he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or respect man, yet because of this widow keeps pestering me, I will give her justice so she doesn't wear me out by her persistent coming. And the Lord said, listen to what this unjust judge said. Will not God grant justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay to help them? I tell you that he will swiftly grant them justice. I want to tell you a story I read. It's I don't know if it's true, but it's always enjoy it. It is about a woman who was at work and received a phone call that her daughter was sick with a fever. And so she left work immediately and went to the pharmacy to pick up some medication for her daughter on the way home. And she returned to the car and in her haste realized that she had locked her keys in the car. And she went into the pharmacy and told them her plight, and in years ago, some of you will remember this, that they used to use coat hangers to get into the car. And she got a coat hanger and went back to the car and said, Lord, I don't know how to use this. Will you please send someone to help me? And she sat there and waited. And after a while, an old rusty car with a bearded, tattooed man with a skull cap drove up. And seeing the lady, and in her distress, he asked her if he could help her. And she told him her story. And he said, I can help you. And less than a minute, he had that car door opened. She hugged him through her tears and said, "You're such a nice man." He said, "My lady, I am not a nice man. I just got out of prison yesterday. I was in prison for car theft." The lady hugged him again and said, "Lord, thank you for sending a professional." How long should I keep on praying? Is the title of the message. How long? Many of us have asked that question. How long should I keep on praying? Now, it is wonderful to pray like this woman did, whether that's true or not, I don't know, and to get an answer. But some of us have prayed and seen the answer immediately. And then we have kept on praying, and we still do not have that answer. That prayer has been prayed in hospital rooms and prayed in nursing homes and terminally ill. It has been prayed looking for a mate or losing a mate. It has been prayed in death and divorce. And the reason Jesus told this story, I think, is because he knew we would get discouraged about praying. And he used an unjust judge who was very callous and unsympathetic, but still powerful man. And the widow is powerless. She has no power. She has no clout. She has no leverage. But she has one thing, and that is persistence. And in those days, the widows were at the bottom of the social ladder. So she is persistently going to it. And actually, she makes a nuisance out of herself until finally she just wears this judge out. And it's almost a comical story that Jesus told. It's a story of contrast. It's a story of a helpless widow and a powerful judge. Now, I hasten to say, God is not like this judge, by the way. Our Heavenly Father loves us. But the question begs us to be answered. If he loves us, why doesn't he answer our prayers? It is a question that Christians wrestle with. And you may be asking that question at Herman Baptist, why doesn't God answer our prayers? You've probably been praying for a pastor for a pretty good while, and you have not seen that prayer answered. I want to hasten to tell you something. And I'm very careful when I say this. But Herman Baptist has people from a lot of different backgrounds. This is not a family chapel. A lot of churches I go into, it's a family chapel. People come from the same background. Most of them grew up together. But Herman Baptist is not a church like this. Herman Baptist has people from all over the world that are here. Different backgrounds. And I will tell you, folks, your search is more difficult because of your diversity. It is harder, listen to me, it is harder to lead a church of diversity. And I will tell you, though it has been a while, God is doing some things in the midst of the membership. God is doing things in your lives. And you need to make sure. I had a church call me a few weeks ago and said, I administer that church quite often, and they said, "We're in a mess." I said, "How could you be in a mess? You haven't had a pastor that long." "We got the wrong pastor." I advised them and told them what I have told you on many occasions. Be careful. Make sure that God is in this and God is leading you. And if you make the wrong decision, you will pay for it. And the pastor will pay for it too. So be very careful. And whoever comes will have to be a pastor who can put people together. I believe you are in unity, but you do have different backgrounds, and it is more difficult. So I have words from the Lord from you today. Always pray. Never give up. So I'm going to do this, and this is your part of the service in this. Your words are always pray. Can you say that? I say, we just need to give up. And you say, I want to quit. I'm getting tired of waiting. Is the search committee ever going to find anyone? I think I'll just quit. I've been reminded of that. And this message, I preach it for me. And hopefully you get something out of it. I have a place I record my prayers. And I use it for different things. But one is I have in my prayer request. And I'd had something on there that I just quit praying about. I've been waiting a long time for an answer. And the Lord reminded me, always pray. Some of you have been praying for something a long time and you have not seen the answer. And the word from the Lord today is, always pray and never give up. I'm going to give you some reasons why we should keep on praying. Why should I keep on praying when I do not see the answer? Persistent prayer keeps us focused on God. When we pray, we are not reminding God because He's sovereign. Do you believe that? He knows everything. We're reminding ourselves of our source. Persistent praying keeps us focused on our God. Just think for a moment, if every time you prayed, God would say, there it is. Some of you would have a different husband or wife this morning. Lord, that's the one. Just show that person. If every time we prayed, we could actually, our prayers could be weapons of mass destruction. Lord, zap them. They hurt me. You see, prayers and our God is not like a vending machine. You put a prayer in and you get an answer that fall out to the bottom. God is not a vending machine, folks. He is a sovereign God of this universe. And persistent praying focuses us on our God. Persistent praying, it helps to narrow and clarify what we're asking. A delayed answer gives us time to formulate what we really are asking for. Because sometimes our praying is very nebulous. It's very vague. We hear it on Sunday morning a lot in a lot of the morning prayers. Lord, bless us. What does that mean? Sometimes blessings can be a lot of troubles. As you read throughout the Bible, some of the blessings were troubles. We say, Lord, be with us. Well, He is, right? We don't really need to pray that. What we mean is, Lord, manifest Yourself. Show up in what, when we come together. Make Yourself known by what You do in our lives. You who are parents, grandparents do not qualify for this because they fall victim to this. But parents, do you give your children everything? Grandparents do, by the way. But every time your child asks for something, do you give them that, especially around Christmas time? You know, the kids got a lot of lists. I want this and this and this and this. And we say, You need to narrow it down to one thing. And that's what we do when we're praying. We're actually narrowing and clarifying what we really want. Persistent praying tests our faith. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:3, the Lord tests the heart. Now, his favorite way of answering prayer is called delay. You ever been in a hurry and God wasn't? Lord, I need this now. Can be very frustrating. We believe that God is never late in answering prayers. We say he is an on-time God. But when you're waiting for an answer, then, and the answer is delayed, and you're saying, God, the clock is ticking. I need this answer. The Bible says that in James 1:3, the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Now, the way that we grow to maturity emotionally and spiritually is we have to have our faith tested. By the way, this is not fun part of living a Christian life. No fun in this. And one way that we grow our faith is delayed answers to prayer. The question is, in maturity, how long can you wait? How long can two-year-olds wait? You have had children or you have grandchildren. How long can two-year-olds wait? Not long. I'm hungry. I got to go to the bathroom. How long can teenagers wait? About the same as a two-year-old. I love teenagers, by the way. But part of the maturity is being able to wait. And there comes a time when you can wait. And that time is called maturity. How long can you wait as an adult? It's according to how mature you are as an adult. How long can you wait as a Christian? It's according to how mature you are as a Christian. To always pray. What does that mean, to always pray? I mean, the Old Testament sages, when they prayed like this. They prayed with their hands up to God. The mode of praying like this came from the feudal system. Maybe I can tell you about that story someday, but this is how we pray now. But that's not original praying. The original praying, the Old Testament, the seers, when they bowed on their knees or when they would bow their face on the ground, they would lift their hands up. They were praying to heaven, but their hands were indicating they were waiting on the answer. To always pray means we have a sense of God's presence. To always pray is a realization in our lives that we know the Bible says our God is a good God. Our God is a loving God. That's what it means to always pray. It is a belief within our lives that we believe that God can change the circumstances or he can change us. And sometimes he does one, sometimes he does the other. And sometimes he does both. It means that you have a trust of dependence that an unseen God is sovereign over the affairs of man. And I think we're seeing that, folks. We've seen some things have happened in my lifetime that all I can ascribe to is the hand of God must have been upon this. You see, when we look at our own abilities, we are tempted to give up. When we look at the abilities and even the compassion of our friends, we're tempted to give up. When we look at our abilities and the compassion of our church family, we may be tempted to give up. When we look at the troubles of the world, we may be tempted to give up. But when we say, well, I'll just quit, what does God say to us? What does He say? When you look at an unstable economy that we've been through for the past 8 years, you may say, I'll just quit. When you look at a $19 trillion debt, you may be tempted to say, I'll just give up. When you look at the threat of ISIS and what they have done to our Christian brothers and sisters, you may be thinking, Lord Jesus, just come. But I can tell you what God says in His Word. He says, always pray and never give up. That's what He says. And we have to remind ourselves to always pray, because I think God knew we'd get discouraged about that. And so we talk about this concept here. Every Sunday morning, the deacons come at the front of the church and they pray. We did it this morning. Every time I've been to Herman, they always do this. It is to signify, this is the way I look at it, it is to signify that the deacons are in unity and are praying for this church and praying for the person who's going to bring a message. And it is commendable. And it is noteworthy. I'm going to tell you a story. I don't have this happen very often, so I said, Lord, I don't know about this. And I said, well, I guess we'll let the people decide this. But I had a dream Friday night. I knew what I was going to be speaking on, and I had a dream. I don't know if the dream's just my dream. I don't know if it's from God. I'll let you all decide that. But I had a dream that the church was to have a designated prayer room. And I saw that room. And it was a designated prayer room where people could come in and pray. And there were cushions where people could kneel. And there were chairs where people could sit, because some can't kneel. And if they did, they'd need a crane to get them up. But I saw it. I saw it had a cross and it had an open Bible. And the thought came to me, and this came during my dream, that when you would have a guest who would be in church, as you would greet them, you would say, I went to the prayer room this morning and prayed for those who would visit our church. And when you had a speaker, you would say, I went to the prayer room this morning and I prayed for you. Or maybe you would be saying that to the deacons, I prayed for you this morning. A place where you could put a prayer request. With this room, the church would be making a statement. Prayer is an essential part of Herman Baptist Church. And I will tell you, I do not know this is from God. I just know this was my dream. And you can decide if it is or not. When we pray, persistent praying helps to prepare us for the proper answer. Sometimes God delays an answer because He wants to answer in a bigger and better way than we ever thought about it. Ephesians 3:20 says, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. That's what praying, persistent praying, it prepares. prepares us for the answer, because God says your prayer is too small. You need a bigger prayer. How long should we pray? I have an answer to that question. How long should we pray? Always. There are times when you quit praying about something. If the request is wrong, God will say no. Sometimes we pray things out of selfish ambition. We say, God, I need this, I want this, and God says no. You quit praying about that. Once he shows you, and he will use his word or the church to clarify if that is a wrong request. If the timing is wrong, God will say slow. And he'll help you clarify that request. Sometimes we pray stuff and God says, no, it's not the right timing. Sometimes we pray and we're wrong. We're asking something out of immaturity. And God will say, you need to grow. And sometimes the request is right, and God will say, all right, let's go. Several years ago, when I was pastoring at Utah, God was beginning to do something. I knew he was. Do you know when the church has it? I go into a lot of churches. And when the church has it, it is the most amazing thing you've ever seen. And I've been in so many churches and pastor churches where we didn't have it. I knew we didn't have it. But when the church has it, and God has that special hand upon that church, and I knew God was fixing to do something. We were needed to build Sunday school rooms. And the church wasn't together. And I told the church, we need to wait. We need to wait till the church is ready. God doesn't have everyone ready yet. But I believe he will. So we need a season of prayer. And we waited. We waited several months. And we came back to the church and we said, we believe the timing is right now. And the church voted for it. We went right through. And you see, this is the most amazing thing. We did it. And we paid for it before we finished. When God has that special touch upon you, when you walk in, you just know that something, you just know something, something, wow, what's going on? And that's what you're looking for, folks. What do I do when I'm praying? Wait patiently. Psalms 37:7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Children get the wiggles, but adults can wait. Immature Christians get the wiggles. We got to have a pastor. 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 And I tell you, you wait upon the Lord. When the time is right, he will do his work. And in the meantime, he is doing something in the membership. You've done some amazing things not to have a pastor. And it is a tribute to your spiritual maturity. And I'd say continue that journey. And to those of you who say, we got to do it quick. Of course, not quick anyway, yet it's been a while. You're saying, we're getting tired of waiting. But I say to you, wait on the Lord. Don't quit. Always pray. I'm going to tell you a story in the Old Testament. I'm getting close to the end. You know, preachers do that, by the way. They say, we're getting close to the end, and then 30 minutes later, what happened to that end? But I'm going to tell you a story in the Old Testament. One day, God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, you're going to be a father to a great nation. Look at all these stars. Any of you have ever been to some of the places where they don't have lights, and you look on a starlit night, it is a quite amazing feat, isn't it? Some of you have seen that. And he was 99 years old, and Sarah was 90, and he was childless. And he said, you're going to be father of a great nation. And Abraham looked at his body, and he looked at his wife Sarah's body, and he said, I don't know, Lord. I don't know. And they waited. They waited a long time. And Sarah said, Abraham, I've got it figured out. God's going to answer our prayer, and this is how he's going to do it. You see, in that day, someone could have a child for someone else. It could be their child. So Sarah said, Abraham, what we could do with this handmaid, this young, I figure she was fairly young, 20, 30s. He said, I'm going to give you to her. You can have intimate relations with her. And when you have a child by her, that will be our child. God's plan, was wait. Abraham and Sarah's plan was plan B. Let's go ahead and get this thing moving. So I can imagine what Abraham, being a real man, looked at Sarah, and he looked at this young lady, and he said, Sarah, I believe that's an answer to our prayer. But it was not God's answer. And we've been paying the price all through the centuries because Isaac's descendants and Ishmael's descendants are still fighting, and they will continue to fight till Jesus comes back. So when we answer our own prayers, we're asking for trouble. But I say wait patiently. And then wait expectantly. Trust the Lord to hear and answer. Micah chapter 7 verse 7 says, but as for me, I watched in hope for the Lord. My God will hear me. Wait expectantly. Do we believe the promises of God? Do we believe that God will keep his word? Luke 11 verse 9. I love this verse. And the literal translation of this says, so it is with prayer, keep on asking. The King James says, ask, seek, knock. It is in the continuing tense, so it literally translates, keep on asking, and you will keep on getting. Keep on looking, and you will keep on getting. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open. It is a continuous thing. It's not to ask one time, seek one time, knock one time. It is a continuing thing. You continue to do this. How many times do you let your phone ring before you answer? In the old days when there was no answering machine, you remember that? It ain't been that long ago, folks. Some of these young people have no idea what I'm talking about. But the phone would just ring and ring and ring, and it would keep on ringing till as long as the person on the line was holding it, letting it ring. I said, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And don't give up. I want to tell you today that God is in control and we're not. And his timetable is not our timetable. And there's no problem too big. There's no storm that he cannot calm. And there's no sorrow too deep that he cannot soothe. And God will honor you for your patience. And God will sustain you while you're waiting. When you're tempted to give up, remember the words of our Lord. Always. How long is always? Till he shows you what you're asking for is wrong, or till he answers your prayer. But never give up. I believe that God will answer the prayers of Herman Baptist Church. I know you want a leader. But you want the right leader. Let's pray. I pray that the words of our Savior as he told this story is to remind us who would get discouraged about praying certain things. And after a while, we would say, Lord, I'll just quit. I don't see an answer. And I've been praying for a long time. I've been praying for the salvation of someone a long time. I've been praying for this answer to a deep need. I've been praying a long time. I'm tempted to give up. And the words of our Savior echo, always pray and never give up. And so, Lord, I pray that you would take the prayers of your people. Corporately, they are praying for a pastor. But privately, they're praying for other things that are deep needs. And I pray, Father, your word will sink deep into their souls. And you will encourage them by your word. So at the close of this service, I'm just going to ask for no music, maybe just some wants to play, that'll be fine. I'm going to give you just a moment to reflect on this. If you want to come to this altar and pray, or if you want to pray where you are, since we've been talking about prayer,